Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Good afternoon, listeners. Thank you for joining us today at Christian Communicators Live. I'm Vonda Skelton, and I am so thankful my taxes are done. I was at the post office yesterday and had to stand in line with these people who always wait at the last minute, and that usually includes me. So I'm thankful to have all that done and all that be behind me, and I'm so glad that each of you can be with us today. And I am tickled to death that we have Judith Coachman with us today. And Carolyn, however, will not be able to be with us. She's doing well. She just has some out-of-town guests, so they'll be sharing their time together, and she'll listen in on the archives, much like many of you do. So she'll be sure and get to hear everything that Judith has to say. Be sure to call in later when we open the phone lines for questions. If you have a question for Judith, you could win one of her books. So I'm especially excited about the show today because it's such a blessing that we can talk about mentoring. Judith Couchman is our guest today. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be with you. I can relate to the tax thing. For last couple years, I was really early and was so proud of myself. And then I was finishing up yesterday.
Yes.
I'm not going to brag about getting taxes done early because then the next year you're running to the post office. So but I'm glad to be here.
That is so true. I go through that every year. Every year I say, next year I'm going to be early, and every year I'm the last couple of days getting it in. But we are so glad you could join us today. And listeners, Judy is going to share her experience and her tips for mentoring the next generation. You know, as committed mentors through our Christian Communicators organization, Carolyn and I are both serious about mentoring, and just can't wait to hear what Judith has to say. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about her. Judith is an author, speaker, writing coach, and a part-time university professor who teaches art history. She has traditionally published over 42 works, including books, Bible studies, compilations, and Bible projects. Judith travels in the United States and overseas to speak to women's groups and to teach and consult with Christian writers and editors. She even helped start the very first Christian women's magazine in Lithuania. I was really impressed with that, Judith. She is the former editor-in-chief of Clarity Magazine, which is a national publication she created for women. Judith also created and leads her Write the Vision retreats and her Designing a Woman's Life seminars for women. She believes every person can pursue and enjoy a God-given purpose, and that He calls seasoned speakers and writers to mentor the next generation. And I say amen to that, Judith. Among her many books, she has published The Art of Faith, The Mystery of the Cross, The Shadow of His Hand, Breakfast for the Soul, His Gentle Voice, Shaping a Woman's Soul, and Designing a Woman's Life. Now, you can find out more about Judith at her website, which is very simple, judithcouchman.com, and that's J-U-D-I-T-H, then the word couch, and then the word man.com. Well, that should be enough to whet your appetite for hearing what she has to share with us today. So let's get started. Judith, as I read over your information, I was thinking about the fact that there are lots of different kinds of mentoring. So what type of mentoring do you specifically participate in?
Oh, good question and a good place to start. I recommend mentoring in the place where you work the best, your sweet spot. And mine is writing. I consider myself a writer first and then a speaker. You know, I'm one of those mm-hmm. introverts that had to get up on the platform. So I'm passionate about writing and publishing, and so that's what I want to pass on to the next generation.
Oh, I'm so glad you hit on that subject of writing and speaking going together, because, you know, we hear that and we say that all the time, that writing and speaking do, they're two parts of the same piece. And either, we've discovered that most of us are either a writer who speaks or a speaker who writes. And so it's interesting to hear you say that you're a writer first and foremost and someone who has to be dragged to the podium. And in many ways, I'm the other way around. I love the stage and love the podium, and I love writing too, but it's just a little bit more difficult to get that done. So thank you for bringing that point up. That's a good point.
You know, and it's true, when you are mentoring somebody or you're the mentee, is to know definitely which one you are. I mean, some people do both beautifully. And if you're primarily a writer, you can learn to speak. You know, you can be extroverted on the stage and then go back to your cave after you're done. The extroverted person will stick around and talk to every single person in the room. But it helps to know that. It helps to identify that with the person you're working with when you're a mentor, because they have different ways of approaching things. And, you know, the one person, you have to help them sit down in the chair in front of the computer and get something done. And the other person, you have to encourage them that people want to hear their message face-to-face. So, you know, it's good to know that about a person.
That's a true point. I never really thought about that from a mentoring perspective. What transpired, or how did you become involved in mentoring new writers?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting on doing anything like that. And I've got to say, you know, I've been kind of self-absorbed in my own work, you know, and just focusing on that. It hadn't occurred to me to take the time to mentor other people. But, you know, when God is telling you something, it kind of comes into your head, and then you set it aside, and then it comes back again, and you go, what is this about? And then finally, for about 3 years, I taught at a writer's retreat in Arizona, and there was one woman at this retreat I was so impressed with. She was just so deeply into God's Word, and she was wanting, you know, to write and teach. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, I wonder if she needs some help, and then I put that question aside. And finally, very nervously and feeling kind of stupid, I called her up because I'd gotten to know her, and I said, do you need help with your writing? And I was just about to apologize for asking, and she said yes immediately. Oh. And so she became my first coaching client. Oh. And what surprised me is I enjoyed it so much. You know, she was a, you know, really good, really serious about wanting to get the work done. And I thought, okay, well, maybe this is what I should be doing. And, you know, as the Lord continued to speak to me, I just felt like He was telling me I had a responsibility to bring along the next generation. And what I was afraid of was that, does this mean my writing career is over and now I'm a mentor? Does this mean, you know, like I'm getting the Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, and it makes me feel like it's all over? And I honestly had to work through that and realize, well, no, that's not the case. That mentors need to be modeling what they're talking about. So, you know, I think it helps people the most if you're in the trenches too. And sometimes you say, I don't know what's going on either. I'll try to find out, you know.
There you go.
So it wasn't like I was setting up, you know, hanging out my shingle and saying, okay, come my way. Like a lot of things in my life, I tour them and then find out, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. That is exactly what God did to me. he mm-hmm. you know, I often will say he tricked me into doing was speaking as a Christian women speaker had never been on my horizon, and neither mm-hmm. had Christian communicators as an organization. Mm-hmm. And in mm-hmm. both of those circumstances, it was just like you said, that God just kind of takes you in the back door and plops it down there, and you either are obedient or you're not. And that was a very powerful revelation to me, is that it can come to a point of, am I going to be obedient or am I not? So,
well, and the other thing is a lot of mentoring, it has to do with timing, too, because 20 years ago, I don't think I would have been ready. But mm-hmm. now, with enough experience under my belt, I'm finding, you know, I enjoy it. And I don't have to, you know, I don't have to be afraid of it.
Right. Well, I've often said that the two biggest, most blessed and most enjoyable things that I have ever done as a Christian woman were the two things that God had to jerk me into doing. And through that, he gave me such a love for that. So even though he kind of had to trick me to get me to do it, oh, he knew where my sweet spot was, just as he knows uh-huh. where yours is and where everybody else's is, because he put it in us. And I just am so thankful for him that he did that for me and allowed me to do that. And I know that that's how you feel as well. So it sounds like you had a couple of little misgivings about mentoring when you first started. Is there anything else that you haven't brought up about that?
Oh, sure. You know, aside from being afraid my work as a writer was done, I was a little concerned about time. You know, how mm-hmm. time-consuming would this be? And would I be able to do this and get my other work done?
Mm-hmm.
But that has also worked out fine. You know, I do all my mentoring on the phone. And I decided to do it that way because that's a time management factor for me. Even people who live in the same city I do, we still get together on the phone because that wipes out things like changing your clothes so you look better when you see somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Driving back and forth, you know, and the cost of that. Mm-hmm. And usually then, you know, I can get distracted onto something else because I'm out of the office. So I just do it my way, you know, that works for my time management mm-hmm. and nobody seems to mind. I was a little concerned too about needy people, you know, that would just take up more time than I was committed to and suck the life out of me. And that hasn't happened.
Oh, good.
You know, I think a lot of the things that we're concerned about don't really happen. And I do a little bit of free consulting, but I charge for my coaching.
Right.
And that tends to bring a quality person and a serious person, because if they're going to put out money, you know, they're ready to go, you know. And
that's right.
A worker is worth her hire. So, and, you know, I have to make a living. So, that, you know, has really not been a problem. And then a little bit I wondered, okay, do I know enough? Because the industry has changed so much from when I got started.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I found with that is if I don't know something, I can just say, you know what, I don't know. I think I'll look that up, or I'll network you to somebody, or I'll find somebody to talk to or something on the web. And, you know, people don't mind that honesty at all. And we talk about what the industry is like today and how uncertain it can be. And, you know, the information you thought you knew could change in 24 hours.
Is that not the truth?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of those misgivings are us focusing on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I came to, and this is what I tell writers when I teach, is that, you know, this isn't about us. It's about taking on a calling in God's kingdom to move his work forward. It's about what God wants to get done in the world. It's not about us. And I find that's one of the first things you have to work through with writers, is they're so focused on all their fears and what's going to happen to them. And that's not up to us to worry about the outcome.
Right.
He's asking us to call, and like he's giving us a calling, excuse me. And like you said, if we're obedient and we follow, that's success. That is success. And it's a very different definition from the world's definition of success.
Exactly. Oh, that is so true. And I think it's even more true today than it was years ago with the inclusion now of social media and the, the search for numbers and that sort of thing. So I know exactly what you mean, and I totally agree. Well, let's take just a moment to invite our listening audience to call in. If you have a question, you can call 347-843-4920. That number, 347-843-4920. If you have a question for Judith, and if you do call in, just hang on and we'll get to you as soon as we can. But let's get back to another question. As you're talking about mentoring, and you've kind of brought up the issue that it's not about us, which I'm so glad you brought out, because we don't always see that. What are your goals for those that you do mentor? Not your goals for yourself, but your goals for those that you mentor.
Well, at first, before we even start, I spend an hour on the phone, no charge, and just try to find out where they are. I mean, the first thing I need to do is get inside their head and their heart and what they want to accomplish, not, you know, me imposing on them what I think they should do. But usually I'm coaching new writers, and they're of all ages, but people who want to get started writing and don't know what to do. So I do have some goals that I work to with them, and that, you know, the first one is that they know their purpose as a writer. We work on a purpose statement for their writing and how that fits into their life, because a lot of people think, oh, I'll just add this book writing on top of everything else I'm doing. And you know, they have one book idea over here and another one over there, and we talk about, okay, what is God calling you to do? Don't look around at everybody else. Just listen to your heart. And a lot of them have had that tamped down for so long, it can become an emotional event for them to bring that up and put it on paper. And sometimes, you know, depending on the person, you know, some people get that done in a week and other people process it for a few weeks, because it can often bring up a lot of other things related in their lives. Another thing I want to do with them is to help them create a writer identity or brand. And a lot of people have trouble with that word brand. It just sounds too commercial. But it's just, who are you as a writer? How do you want to be known in the marketplace? Of course, I want them to learn to write well.
And, yes, that would be good.
And a lot of people have not been trained in writing. They just feel called, and they step into this without knowing much. I mean, everybody writes, but not everybody writes well. So I'll refer them to books. You know, I just had a client that I sent a bunch of worksheets to her, and she's working on active voice, and then, you know, active verbs, and she's got sentences to actually write out, and she wanted that, and that's helping her write. And she'd already written a book by herself and published it, and now she's going back and trying to write better. I try to help people plan what they want to do. You know, what are the projects that you want to do? What's the nature of them? Of course, I want to help them get published if I can. I can't guarantee that. I can hook them up with, you know, the right people, but it's really fun when you see them finally publish something. And we talk about, not everybody has to start with a book. A book doesn't mean, you know, you're at the pinnacle. It just means it's a book. It's a format.
Right, right.
But some people are just meant to write, and I don't want to say the word just, but some people are meant to write devotionals
mm-hmm.
or write better speeches or write articles or do a newsletter. So we kind of talk about where's the best place for you, or at least the best place to get started. And then one thing I didn't think I'd be doing, but I've done quite a bit of it, is helping that writer create the support, the marketing support they need. You know, some people, they don't have a website, so we work on that. They don't have marketing materials. So they have to learn the importance of social networking. So I've actually, you know, created a couple of websites for clients.
Wow.
And charge separately for that. But what I guess my overall goal is, you know yourself and pursue it in a way, you know, that it's effective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see how you have tapped into so many different areas of being a writer and a speaker. And so I remember when I first started writing, I had done well in school and in college in writing, and all my instructors always praised my writing, and so I thought I knew it all. And so with that attitude, I didn't get too far for quite a while until I started seeking ways of learning. So I love the fact that you're touching all kinds of different bases and through different kinds of activities. So that's a really good point, is to have a variety of activities and areas of work to focus on. So
it
for
made,
us...
Go ahead. It's made me see how much the industry has changed, because
mm-hmm.
if I'd done this 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have thought about branding, social networking.
Right.
You know, maybe would say have a flyer for your speaking, but now it's
yeah.
just so much more extensive. I mean, even
mm-hmm.
now we're on a podcast. You want to do that? There are you're just not just a writer anymore. And you
exactly.
know, I often say the days of the writer, you know, who hibernates, those are over, unless you're
yeah.
already well established.
Yes,
you know,
that's
John
exactly.
Grisham can do anything he wants to. You know,
isn't
but
that the
for,
truth?
Yeah, but for people starting out, you have to jump through all these hoops to be published. And in talking about these things, there's a, you know, sometimes there's an emotional quality to it for the writer, or maybe a little bit of resistance. You know, I just want to write. I don't want to do all this other stuff. So as a mentor, you kind of have to listen to that and understand the person and then help them with as much as you can. You know, I'll have one client that just takes off and thinks of all kinds of marketing things to do and is running way ahead of me.
Wow.
And then I have another one, you know, you have to drag them toward the website and
mm-hmm.
Maybe a blog, but certainly not a daily blog, you know.
Yeah.
So you just, there's just, you have to just keep discerning
mm-hmm.
what they need.
Right, and it is going to be different depending on the person. So we as speakers and writers who are listening to what you have to say, what would you say, based on your experience, what qualities does a mentor need to cultivate? So can all of us just hop up and, you know, put a shingle out and call ourselves a mentor, or are there qualities that we specifically need to cultivate and work on?
Well, I think everybody can do some kind of mentoring just
mm-hmm.
by sharing your life. Writers and speakers, especially new ones, are just so hungry for any information they can get, or just to talk to somebody else that's doing
mm-hmm.
the same thing. So, because often they feel like, oh, gosh, I'm not as crazy as I thought I was, because here are other people wanting to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But I did write out a little list, and you don't have to have all these or be perfect in all of these. These are just some of the things that can grow. You know, some people just might be a mentor of one person. Other people might turn into writing or speaking coaches. Depends
uh-huh.
on your experience, your desire, your calling. But I would say, first of all, be an encourager. And, you know, sometimes you're talking people down off the ledge, and or other times you're just, you know, other times it's just, wow, that's a really great idea. And you'll be surprised how much people do not get encouraged. And in order to do that, you need to be a listener and other-focused. This is about them. It's not about you and all your accomplishments. And it's easy for us to just go, you know, start telling them our war stories or our accomplishments, and we forget about them. So a lot of times it's just keeping your mouth shut and listening to what they're saying. They already know you're an accomplished writer, you know, but they want to be heard. And another part of that is not to be competitive, because it is easy to think, you know, if you have any kind of competitive feelings at all, and I've really had to work through that in my life, is just don't compete with the person you're mentoring. You know, don't one-up them.
Right.
You did that, but I did this, you know, and this feeling that you always have to be ahead of them or better than them. And, you know, a good mentor will applaud that person who races out ahead of them. And are you willing for your mentee to do better than you have? And that pops up. You also need discernment. What does this person need? What won't work for this person? You know, just how do you need to handle their sessions? Because everybody I've mentored, every session's been different. I think you also need open hands and not control what they do, and especially not control the outcome. Because I can think this would be just the greatest book for them to write. It's so perfect. And they don't want to go there. They have something else in mind. And you also need to accept that they may not take your advice and go off and do something that, you know, you think will crash. But, you know, most of the time they will completely follow what you're saying. You need patience, because people are very busy. They don't always get the work done that, you know, they had planned on doing. Usually when you give somebody an assignment or they want to pursue a project, you need to multiply the time by 3 or 4, and that's about how long it takes.
Right.
You need a certain amount of knowledge or the willingness to find it and the willingness to refer them to other people if you're not the right person, and you need to have a willingness to find answers. Those are the things I've found so far. I might have a different list in another year, you know.
That's right. That's right. Well, all of this is such great advice. I wish we had another 30 minutes that we could talk, because there is so much to cover. But from what you've said today, I think one of the most powerful things is that all of us can and should be mentors to someone, even if it's not in an organized, official manner. We can all be encouragers, and we can take our experiences of life and we can use them for glory, or we can keep it all to ourselves and have that competitive spirit, afraid that we'll add another competition to the list, and that's not at all what it's about. So thank you so much, Judith, for being with us today, and I do hope that we get to meet face to face one of these days and we can talk some more about mentoring. So listeners, thank you for being here today. And if you want to learn more about Judith and her mentoring classes and relationships, you can check out her website at judithcouchman.com. And thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason to have Christian Communicators Live. And ladies, if you feel called to speak and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn how to grow your outreach and connect with other Christian women speakers, we hope you'll visit our website at christiancommunicators.com, where we educate, validate, and launch women in their speaking ministries. We have a couple more openings for our August conference, and then we'll start the waiting list. So let this be your year to take the next step in your writing and speaking ministry. And blessings to each of you as you continue to reach out in His great name. Till next time, goodbye.